I'm going to do what's called an abbreviated sermon, which in my language means about 40 to 48 minutes. Let me again praise God for our children, the blessing of our children. I want to say this loud and clear, and I want it to be made known that this is not a place where children have to be bystanders or that children are an afterthought. This is not a place where children have to stand on the sidelines and watch adults live a spiritual life. This is a place where children along with adults are invited to live the spiritual life. Amen? We are a church that encourages that. I want to thank Karen. Aaron Wilson and Kim Reynolds and Terry McPete. Where are you? Just stand up or raise your hand. These are the folks responsible for teaching the sign language. And also Kim and Bill Reynolds, who's out in the hallway. There he is. He's the attractive guy with the jeans on there. They responsible for doing the puppet ministry. Thank you so much for your activity in our kids' lives. Seriously, your passion and your initiative is indeed inspiring. Let's read together from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, from the prophet of Isaiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light of those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as soldiers rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You know, there is a lot that we can learn from our children. And in fact, in living and walking and having a spiritual journey, in the spiritual life, there is a lot to be learned from our children. Take, for instance, my daughter, Kira. She's a cut-up. She is a wild girl. She has such a zest for life. She's my thrill kid. When we go to the amusement park, no ride is too big for Kira. In fact, she cried because she couldn't get on the big roller coasters. She's not scared of anything. She wants to get on stuff. She wants to go upside down. She wants to go through the dark. She wants to do all those things. It's this thrill-seeking child that often remarks and says good things about people. This thrill child of mine, Kira, is such a reminder to me of what it means to say kind words to people. Every day, Kira takes the initiative to say, "Dad, I love you. Mommy, I love you. Mommy, you're so beautiful." I had a teacher's conference with her teacher. She goes to Liberty Christian Academy. And her teacher was talking about, she says, not a day goes by that Kira doesn't say a kind word to me. Her teacher was explaining to me that she was going through a particularly dark period. She's going through a particular dark period. And she knows for a fact that Kira has been sent in her life to be God's word to her. That every day Kira is saying, "You're the best. You're beautiful. I love you. Thank you for teaching me." We can learn a lot from our children. Caitlin, on the other hand, while being a cut-up, is much more reserved and laid back. Caitlin doesn't like the big rides at the amusement parks. Caitlin's very analytical when it comes to ride. When Caitlin looks at a big ride, she looks at how high it is. She hears how many screams she hears. She looks at all the turns and twists. And she makes an informed decision at the end of the calculations to say, no, Dad, not for me, not this ride. She's a cautious individual. And when it comes to compassion, Caitlin has taught me so much about compassion. Not a night goes by that she doesn't pray for the poor, that she doesn't pray for those who don't have food and drink. She's always asking God to be with the kids who don't have homes and houses and don't have water to drink or food to eat. She's always concerned about people. She's just made up that way to always have compassion. She's taught me so much. Church, there is much to be learned from our kids regarding spirituality. And church, there is much that kids can remind us of what the Christ means to us. And in the circumstance of my own life, and given this Advent or Christmas season, my beautiful daughters have reminded me of Jesus and that his name means compassion. It was forecasted long ago by the prophet Isaiah. We are given explicit information that a child would be born. In verses 6 and 7 of our text, we are told, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." It was prophesied that we would be blessed with a compassionate figure. And we know that this figure would embody compassion because only someone so compassionate would be called a Wonderful Counselor. That is to say, one who listens and one who imparts wisdom for living. That this Christ, this child that would be born to us, would grow to be one that would embody compassion in the sense that he would listen to us, that he would be actively involved in our lives. He's interested in what we have to say. Not like us men, like when our wives are talking to us and we have selective listening. When our wives ask us that trick question, when they put on a shirt and say, "Honey, does this make me look fat?" We have choices to make. We can either answer, bad choice, or we can choose not to listen or pretend that we didn't listen. No, Jesus isn't like that. Whatever we have to take to him, whatever questions we have to ask, he's going to listen. Whatever pleas we have on our heart, whatever desires we have on our heart, we have a Wonderful Counselor who wants to listen, church. We know that this figure would embody compassion because only one who would embody compassion would be called Mighty God. That is to say, one who is in the toughest of situations can handle it, who can fix it. A Mighty God has the power to do what we can't do. Only one who would embody this compassion would have the power to do what we can't do, to do the miraculous, to do what we can't see, think, or imagine. A Mighty God. We know that he would embody compassion because only one who embodies compassion would be called Everlasting Father. That is to say, one who provides and protects even if it means losing his life. Do I need to go further? Hasn't Christ displayed this attitude of sacrificing his own life for those whom he loves? Only one who embodies compassion would be called a Prince of Peace. One who is passionate about establishing peaceful reign in our hearts. Holy God doesn't want us to live a life of chaos and mix up and confusion. He wants to reign in our hearts, and that reign, He desires peace. Only one whose name means compassion can mean so much. And this is the part, this is in part what we celebrate this Christmas season. We celebrate Jesus, who embodied the Spirit of God, a compassionate God. It was life for a Jew to constantly remind themselves and others that the essence of God was compassion. Hence, the psalmist declares in Psalm 103 and verse 8, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love." Time and time again, the description of Jesus' ministry included this word, compassion. Take, for instance, Matthew chapter 9, 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew chapter 14. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 1. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." And church, this compassion has been extended throughout the ages. And we are recipients of this same compassion showed to the blind, showed to the crippled, showed to the deaf, showed to those who were suffering the death of loved ones, shown to the hurting ones, shown to the lepers and the disenfranchised. God's gift of grace, God's miraculous, powerful gift of grace is wrapped in compassion for you. He cares for you. He thinks about you. He's for you. He's available to listen to you. Church, receive his compassion today. And you can boldly lift your head. Psalm 3:3 says, "O Lord, you are a shield around me. You are the lifter of my head." Only one whose essence is compassion would be so willing to take you out of your pit, to take you out of your clay, to take you out of your bad situation, to take you out of your debt, to take you out of your hurt, to take you out of a season of loss, to take you out of all of that and say, "Listen here, son. Listen here, daughter. Lift your head up. I'm a shield around you. Lift your head up." Church, the name of Jesus means compassion. And if we are recipients of great compassion, may we follow the example of Caitlin, who on a daily basis prays to God out of her compassion for the poor. May we pray for those who are hurting out of our compassion for those people. May we pray for the hopeless and the helpless. May we pray for the blind and the sick. May we pray for all. May we embody that same compassion that has been bestowed us. God's gift wrapped in compassion. And having been such recipients of that compassion, may we sing a song of faith. May we profess this, that, "O Lord, you are a shield about me. You are the lifter of my head." This Christmas season means that we can lift our heads high, walk in boldness, walk in confidence, walk in joy. Because his name means compassion. If you want to receive God's compassion for you, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, I want to invite you to do so. No better way to finish or complete this Christmas season without giving your life to Jesus Christ, professing faith in him. If you desire to be baptized, we'll baptize you. If you have another desire on your mind, you want to give that to the Lord, you want the church to help out by praying for you, you want to see compassion in action, you want to see some people love you, you want to see some people hug you, you want to see some people get actively involved in your life because they love you and because they care for you, and they're doing it because there was a God and a Jesus that cared and loved them, I want you to give us that opportunity. Let's stand and let's sing this song.